Thanks for tuning in to Unscripted, presented by Be Unique Magazine, because an authentic life is unscripted. Be Unique is a 501c3 charity that works today to change tomorrow. Learn more at our website, beunique.org. That's BUNEKE.org. Did you know that Be Unique is a free, nonprofit publication? We work today to change tomorrow by bringing you truly amazing guests like the one we'll introduce tonight, and by highlighting stories about people all over the world who will astound you. The free digital version is available 24/7 at beunique.org. That's BUNEKE.org.
Everybody, welcome to Be Unique Unscripted. I am your host, Mary Brotherton, and I'm here with Miriam Subiri. Oh, I forgot to ask you. Subirana?
Fantastic. Subirana.
She is a doctor of fine arts at the University of Barcelona in Spain, in case you don't know where Barcelona is. She's a coach, author, and trainer in appreciative inquiry and the author of Joy of Caring. And that's why we're here today, to talk about the joy of caring. Welcome to the show, Miriam.
Thank you. It's a pleasure and an honor to be able to share some time with all of you.
Yeah, I'm really excited to learn more about your book. It sounds like it's really exciting. What was the drive behind you writing a book called The Joy of Caring?
That's a very good question. The drive was that I've been accompanying people for the past 35 years or 40 years. And in this accompanying people, seeing that many people are very harsh on themselves, that one thing is to have the will to improve, and the other is to be harsh, to be difficult on yourself, to tell yourself negative things, to criticize yourself, to judge yourself in a way that finally caring, it's like a burden instead of a joy. And caring is really necessary, but the drive into writing this book, which has many examples of accompanying people, that, for example, how do you relate to time and how time is a source of joy or is a source of stress?
I can understand that. As an editor of a magazine, time, yes. I love deadlines because it gives me something to aim for. But if I'm not careful, and this is something I've learned over time and learning to care for myself, I have to monitor that time and make sure that it doesn't control me.
Exactly. So you said it, that's one of the aspects that I talk about in the book. And so this was really the drive to share the experience of how to shift difficulties into possibilities, and how to shift this being harsh on ourselves, this thinking badly about ourselves or too critical of ourselves or too demanding on ourselves, to be more joyful, more caring, more compassionate. And also in relationship to others, every relationship is an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to connect. And yet sometimes in the world of caring, we see the relationship as a burden, because I have to care about someone, and then it becomes a burden instead of the joy of caring. So it's both ways.
I can understand that. I was a caregiver for 3 years for my mother, and there were moments that I had to remind myself why I chose to do that. And because it is hard. It's very hard to be a caregiver, to care for someone who you know is exiting the world. And when you get to that point of it becoming a burden, you must step back and take care of yourself so that you can take better care of the one you're caring for.
Yes.
And it's very difficult. You just have to think to yourself, why am I doing this? Why did I agree to do this? Not let it be a like you said, a burden. I wanted to ask you, though, you've mentioned something about transforming difficulties into possibilities. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes. For example, in the example you said about caring for your mother, you could put on the glasses of seeing it as a difficulty. And actually, if you step back and you talk to yourself and you think and you see it's your mother, you know, we have one mother.
Right.
And it's the joy of giving back all what we have received, in a sense, in this case of a mother. And I'm talking like the past 3 days I have been with my mother, who is 85 and who needed, you know, I went with her to hospital, etc. So it's seeing the possibility of closeness, of relationship in the case of the mother, for example. But the many other difficulties that emerge in the world of caring for ourselves and caring for others. For example, when we care for another from the perspective of being a savior, I'm going to save you,
because
you're a victim. And that becomes a difficulty. Instead of caring, you are generating an attachment and an entanglement in which there is dependency. And in the end, the aim of caring is lost, and we are trapped into a difficulty. So transforming that into a possibility requires to be able to look at yourself and see from where are you caring, from which aspect of your being are you caring.
Yes.
Because sometimes the one that cares wanting to be a savior is the one that needs the care, you know. It's like and so transforming difficulties into possibilities. These are just a few examples. There are many different examples that emerge in the world of caring for each other and caring for myself. For example, the difficulty of having to let go. It's a possibility, letting go. And the difficulty is when I don't want to let go, or the other doesn't want to let go.
Yes.
And part of caring is letting go.
That is a very good thing for a lot of people to hear, I believe, because I've heard many people who are in difficult marriages say, well, or not even a marriage, just a relationship. I've put in X number of years. I don't want to feel like I've wasted this time. But sometimes you have to let go of one thing before something better can come into your life.
Definitely. This is a great example in relationships, how because of fear of being alone, because of fear of what's going to happen if I let go. Because of wanting to prove myself, I invested so much time or so much money or so much energy. And so I need to prove myself that it was worth it for something. And
yes.
Can we see all the learnings, all what I have learned, and then say thank you and let go? So that's another good example of transforming a difficulty and possibility.
I really like this. I like the idea behind your book, because people don't think of the relationship between themselves and the person that they care for. In any, you know, they think, oh, I care for this person, or I am giving care to this person, but they don't stop and think how they must take care of themselves first before they can do anybody else any good. And it seems like your book has a lot of that self-care component to it.
Yes, and it's a self-care in which you care for all the dimensions of the self, the body, the mind, the heart, the relationship, the relational being, because we are relational. And at the same time, caring, being aware of our surroundings, not caring, just being obsessed about me, I, but it's a caring in which I am connected with what gives me life. And from that space, I can care for others.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. You talk about opening up. Can you tell us exactly how somebody should do that? If somebody's closed off from the world or closed off to new ideas, how would they learn to open up?
Well, of course, it depends in which situation and in which circumstances. One is to be closed to receive love. If a person has been hurt And then they create a defense around themselves, and they are not open to receive, even if you are acting out of kindness, of love, the other person doesn't trust.
Oh.
And so we need to create, to be kind, to be tender, and to create an atmosphere of trust in which the other person feels it is safe to open up.
That makes so much more sense. I hadn't even thought of it that way. You know, that component of trust is so important. And yes, it's very hard for a lot of people to trust once they've been hurt.
Yes. And so they need to learn to forgive. But what is more difficult is to forgive the self.
Yes.
Because,
yes.
The person could be hurt by someone, and that someone maybe didn't even realize that they were hurting because they are in another space, mental space, or they are someplace else and in another story. And yet the person feels hurt and needs to learn to let go of that person that hurt you, but forgive yourself from allowing or from being there, you know, or whatever. And that's also one of the aspects of opening up, because forgiveness, forgiving, to give.
Yes, so forgiving. I like the way you broke that down.
So it's like, it's a donation, it's giving.
And I had never thought of breaking it down like that.
So when I give, I open myself. So it's forgiving. It's very healing.
Yes, yes.
And it helps to open up. Now, another aspect is the second question about opening up to new ideas. And whatever is the reason that the person is locked in themselves and not open to new ideas, new adventures, new possibilities, there may be a reason. But what we do in appreciative inquiry, instead of going into the reason of why is the person not open, just see, okay, whenever in a moment in your life that an idea was good for you and you live that idea, what opened you up to that idea and to live that idea or to experiment with it? And how would it be if you would be open again for another idea? What would happen in your life? So it's like suggesting, like on the one hand, remembering a moment of openness to an idea, and then just suggesting, not imposing a new idea, just suggesting. And that softness helps the person to open up.
I think softness may be the key. Hmm. Just be soft in your dealings with other people and yourself and your ideas. I really like that. You've given me a lot to think about today. This is really good. I know that you ended your book with compassion and contemplation. And I think both of those things played a big part in my life. I'd like to hear your take on that. How are they related to caring? And can you give our audience a way to be more compassionate?
Yes. Well, first I want to give a little bit of background to that.
Yes, please.
In the book, you will see that I mention several philosophers because since the ancient Greece, the philosophers tell us about the importance of caring for the self, caring for others. But also compassion is, and I mentioned how different philosophers share about compassion. It's something that unites, in a sense, different philosophical and religious paths and spiritual paths, because compassion, for example, for the Buddhists is like the highest level of love. And compassion has the root compassion, is the same root of communication, communion, community, which means us. It's us. It's from the I to the us. So compassion also connects with understanding, which in Spanish is comprensión. I don't know if the word comprehension.
Yes, I do. Comprende.
The root.
Comprende.
So the root com, which is inclusive. And compassion is the energy of, you know, the passionate energy of the human being channeled or directed in a flow of love towards others and towards yourself also. And the golden rule that is in all spiritual paths is care for others as you would like to be cared, treat others as you would like to be treated. So compassion is also connected to that. And compassion is the opposite of anger. I have anger because an expectation has not been fulfilled. I feel anger because someone has behaved in a way that I was not expecting. They should not have behaved like that, according to my understanding, for example. And so anger against injustice and against what is, against illness, against, and this energy of anger, it's very, I would say it sucks your energy up. It's exhausting.
It is exhausting.
It's exhausting, and it separates us. When I have anger towards someone, I separate myself from that person. And compassion is the same, you know, the fire of the energy, instead of through anger, through love. And compassion is, okay, I understand, or I forgive, I embrace, I accept, and I move on.
Yes, I really, I like your philosophy. This is, I think everybody should read your book, The Joy of Caring. It's really, it's inspiring. And
I can answer the last question about
contemplation.
Contemplation. So contemplation, the temple. So it's like being in the inner temple. When we go to a temple, we feel it's a sacred space. And so we don't start shouting generally, no, we go in respect, in silence, introspection. And contemplation is also the act of accepting what is without wanting to change it all the time. This is as it is, I accept it. And then from acceptance, I will have the energy of changing or transforming whatever really needs to be transformed. But many times we fight against what is, and contemplation takes us to a space of accepting what is and focusing on what you want to see growing in your life.
Yes. Yeah, I really like contemplative prayer because it makes me feel like I'm not making demands or asking for anything. I'm just sitting with myself and my God and letting conversation flow, whichever way it happens to go. And I know that's a hard concept for a lot of people to understand, but you can contemplate thinking about something and just let things happen. Instead of, a lot of people talk about brainstorming. Let's have a brainstorm session. And they throw out a lot of ideas, but sometimes you get those ideas and you have to let them nurture a little bit before you can take any action on them. And that's the contemplation part. Mm. You have formed ideas of what to do, but then you need to think less and just let them be.
Yes. And to have a space of silence.
Yes.
In which what wants to be born in you, what wants to grow from you, those ideas or whatever it is, just let it emerge in and embrace it in the space of silence.
Yes, I like that. You mentioned briefly, and I know this was, I introduced you as a trainer in appreciative inquiry. What is that? What do you mean by appreciative inquiry?
Yes, appreciative inquiry actually was born in the US, and it's a philosophy, a way of being, a methodology, to focus in what you want to see grow, to inquire in what works, what is, to dream what would you like to see in your ideal, and how to make it happen through designing prototypes and propositions and then allowing that to be. And appreciative inquiry is also about dialogue and relationship, including all the voices. So if in an organization, in association, in a community, in a congregation, we want to move on, for example, and have a flourish as a community. So appreciative inquiry is a way to hear all the voices and allowing them to be expressed, listen to them, and co-creating together the world we want to see around us. And so this is sort of the idea. And then there are different ways to put it into practice, in which, for example, instead of focusing in the problem, let's focus in what works. Instead of focusing in what we don't want, let's focus in what we want. Instead of focusing in the deficit, in what's the mistake, let's focus in when we do things at our best. How are we? What are we doing when we are at our best? And let's make that grow. And making it that grow, then the weaknesses lose power and the strengths are strengthened.
That, pardon me. That is very, it's a deep thinking thing. I like that. I like to think about things like that. And that's appreciative inquiry. I did not know that it was born in the U.S. That's interesting.
Yes, David Cooperrider is the person that started the movement or the appreciative inquiry from Cleveland and in Case Western University. And then I have like another book published by the same publisher of both books, which is called Flourishing Together, a guide on appreciative inquiry coaching.
Oh.
And it's a way of accompanying others through focusing in what we want to grow instead of what we want to diminish, in what gives you life instead of what takes your life away, you know, focusing on what gives you joy instead of what not, and then making it that grow, because where we focus our vision and our mind, we make that grow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people talk about the law of attraction or manifesting, or The Secret was a big deal a while back. And there is no secret. You know, our thoughts become things, and what we focus on is what we get more of.
Yes, exactly. And so appreciative inquiry, it's a way to relationally focus on what we want to see more of in our families, in our communities. And so I started training many Spanish-speaking people so that, you know, appreciative inquiry would reach all the Spanish-speaking people. And this is the book.
Oh, nice.
Indagación apreciativa es Spanish, appreciative inquiry. And and so, yes, just spreading the seeds.
That's focus. Excellent. Now, how many languages is Joy of Caring in?
Joy of Caring is in Spanish and in English.
Okay.
Because this is recently just came out. Some other books are in English, Italian, French, Spanish, Catalan.
How many books have you written?
14.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
So where can people buy your books?
Well, they can buy it in the website of the publisher, which is obooks.com, books.com, johnpublishing.com also. And then I suppose in Amazon, they are also available. And also for the Spanish books or in other languages, I mean, through my website, miriamsubirana.com, they can find out more about my other books.
I will make sure all of that is on our show tonight. They can be, so people, if they're listening, they can just scroll down to the bottom where the description is and find all this information.
That's great.
I appreciate you taking time with us to talk about the joy of caring and appreciative inquiry and just how we can open up to others and ourselves, the role that acceptance plays in caring for ourselves as well as caring for others in any relationship. I typically end my shows with what I call my parting words. And I think they're absolutely, I always use the same words over and over because it's important to me. I always tell people that if you can do anything in the world, you can be kind. And wherever you go, you don't know what the other person is doing or what they've been through. So just be kind. I'd love to know if you have words you'd like to share.
Well, first of all, I was very touching what you share about just being kind. And I would share wherever you go, connect with what gives meaning to you and what gives life to you. And through that life, you can then share it with others, that energy giving word, yes. Presence.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Doctor. I can't say it enough. I do appreciate you being here, and I appreciate what you're doing to help make the world a better place.
Thank you. And you are also helping in spreading the word of making the world a better place. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together. Change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit BeUnique.org to learn more. That's BUNEKE.org.